He found the door to the basement, put a load of laundry in the washing machine, the ragman's clothes and Christine Neal's clothes, added detergent and half a bottle of bleach, and started the machine. Back on the first floor, Carl picked up Christine Neal's blonde wig and went back into the bedroom, into the walk-in closet, to dress. From a drawer of pantyhose and knee-high socks, Carl chose a pair of opaque brown tights. He put them on, taking great care not to run them, then tucked his money into the crotch and tucked his privates away as best he could. Then he chose a brown knit calf-length skirt and pulled it on. From a drawer of underwear, he chose a bra, but it was too tight around his ribcage, digging into him. How women put up with the discomfort was beyond him. Instead, he found a stretchy, tight-fitting t-shirt and fashioned the illusion of small breasts with two pairs of athletic socks, each pair rolled into a ball. The tightness of the t-shirt held them in place. A boxy brown cotton sweater went over the t-shirt. Shoes, he expected, might present a problem, but when he started comparing the length of his foot with the length of Christine Neal's shoes, Carl found that wasn't the case. He selected a pair of low-heeled brown boots and pulled them on. They fit as well as any shoes he'd had. In the bathroom once more, he set about transforming himself. He had once worked as a stagehand in a playhouse in St. Louis and had watched the actors carefully as they applied the layers of color and shading, creating characters on the bland canvas of their own faces. He applied foundation, concealed the bruises and shadows, created eyes with brown liner and shadow and dark mascara. With a shade called Dolce Vita, he painted his swollen lower lip and gave himself the appearance of having a fuller upper lip using a colored pencil. When he had finished, Carl stood back and studied his masterpiece in the mirror. He stretched Christine Neal's blonde wig over his bald head just like that. He had become a woman. Carla. No one was on the lookout for a blonde woman in a brown skirt and sweater. His finishing touches were a brown and blue print silk scarf, which he tied around his throat to hide his Adam's apple, and the red marks on his own throat where Snake's handcuffs had bitten in the night before, and a pair of large-framed brown tortoiseshell sunglasses, the kind President Kennedy's wife had always been photographed in. Carl went back into the bedroom, bent over, lifted the dust ruffle. Christine Neal's sightless eyes stared at him. Her mouth was open, her swollen tongue sticking out at him. She looked like a spare mannequin that had been discarded in the back room of a store, forgotten under other unneeded props and racks.
"Thank you, Ms. Neal," Carl said respectfully. "I'm sure you was a real nice lady."
He put the dust ruffle back in place and walked out, stopping at the coat closet in the hall to choose a brown poncho. In the kitchen, he picked up Christine Neal's handbag and car keys before he let himself out the back door. The car in her garage was the dark blue Volvo. Nice, leather seats and all. A car that wouldn't stand out in this part of town. She had kept it real clean, too. It smelled like lemons. Carl backed out of the garage and put the garage door down with the remote. With luck, no one would come looking to visit Christine Neal over the weekend. But even if someone did, they would simply find her gone. No Christine, no car, no handbag. She was out, shopping maybe, or at a movie. If she worked somewhere, she wouldn't be missed until Monday at the earliest. If she didn't work, it could be days before someone noticed she wasn't around. Days and days of freedom to use Christine's car, to do what he wanted, to go where he pleased. He turned down the street and headed out on the next leg of his quest, to find the place that would please him most, the home of his champion, Carrie Moore.